Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Murillo Lay. Dr. Murillo Lay is an experienced orthopaedic surgeon specialising in conditions of the hip and knee. Dr. Lay is practising in Joondalup as well as the surrounding hospitals. Dr. Lay completed his MBBS in Brazil in 2011 and went on to achieve a Master's in Surgical Science in 2017. Murillo pursued multiple fellowships, including knee surgery in Sydney and Perth, focusing on ACL surgery, knee replacement, and robotic procedures. In 2021, he finalised his studies with a fellowship in robotic hip and knee arthroplasty and is now qualified in 5 different subspecialties and fellowships. Today, we'll be discussing the topic of knee cartilage problems in young patients.
This podcast is brought to you by DPM Financial Services. DPM is a specialist medical financial advice firm that aims to empower doctors of Australia to make the right financial decisions and achieve their financial goals.
We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Murillo, thanks for talking with us on PodMD today.
Thank you for having me.
The topic of today's discussion is knee cartilage problems in young patients. Can you describe for our listeners the type of knee cartilage problems young people see?
Well, first of all, we have to define what is young people, yeah? And this is quite relative, but we usually consider 40 years old as younger to that, being younger. And after 40, so you would considering all the type of treatments, okay? For this group of younger patients, so the cartilage problems can be classified, first of all, as purely cartilage involvement or chondral, sometimes you will say, or involving both bone and cartilage, and that's what we will call osteochondral defects. So the injuries can be classified by location in one or multiple areas, but most commonly it's on the femoral condyles of the knee, as well as tibial plateau, but patellofemoral joint as well need to be looked at. So we can classify them based on time of injury and presentation. So acute are the ones within 4 weeks from initial injury, or chronic, those who are longer than 4 weeks since the initial injury or presentation. So you also can classify them as a traumatic or atraumatic. Most of the time, there is a mechanism of injury, there is an accident, or the patient being tackled in sports, but sometimes there's no history of trauma, and that's what we have to suspect as well.
How would a patient with knee cartilage problems typically present?
Typically, a patient will present with a history of recent trauma, accompanied by pain or clicking sensation, or feeling of internal knee movement. That's how the patients report. Sometimes they say, I feel something moving inside. For instances, the knee locks, and that may occur if the chondral lesion detaches completely from the native location and can be jammed between femur and tibia. So, but as I said, similar symptoms and complaints can manifest in absence of trauma history, so always be aware.
And what are the risks of the condition?
So essentially, chondral lesions of the knee are of great concern because there is limited ability of the cartilage to heal and potential for chronicity of the lesion, okay? Also, patients are usually young and they are involved in high level of competitive sports, so if the diagnosis is missed, lesions become chronic and there will be limited options of treatment later, okay? So, and there's nothing worse than managing a young patient with chronic pain in the rooms where there are limited options of treatment. However, if the lesion is diagnosed earlier, the success rate of current treatments can be quite high. So it's very important ongoing monitoring as well and managing to ensure best possible outcome and best knee function for our patients.
What are the current treatment options?
So the treatment of osteochondral or chondral lesions of the knee will depend on the size of the lesion, location, as well as patient demands and level of participation in sports. Microfracture procedure is the most common treatment for chondral injuries of the knee, and this is an arthroscopic day procedure involving keyholes, all right? So the surgeon softens the edge of the defect, maintaining a certain level of containment, and perform microperforations on the subchondral bone using a 1 or 2 millimeter drill. So this stimulates stem cells to produce fiber cartilage later on. But note that this procedure is only indicated for small lesions up to 2 square centimeters in low demand patients, okay? We also have another procedure called MACI, which is spelled M-A-C-I, and that stands for matrix autologous chondrocyte implantation. This is a two-step procedure, which is indicated for patients who present with larger lesions purely or involving cartilage with no bone involvement, and usually in high demand or high level participation in sports patients. So the first step involves a simple arthroscopy where a healthy small sample of the cartilage is harvested and that's sent to the lab for in vitro growth. This process takes on average 6 weeks. So after that, the second step involves implanting the newly grown cells back into the patient's knee. And a collagen membrane rich in cultured chondrocytes is typically used to and suture into the defect. So this procedure has level A of evidence supports its use in patients with overall 90% of survivorship of the MACI graft around 20 years mark. So this is the preferred method for treating large lesions in high demand patients. However, when the patient have osteochondral defects, so this is why it's so important to define if it's a purely cartilage or cartilage and bone involved. If this is the situation, we have to repair or reconstruct bone and cartilage. So the options are essentially one, it's called mosaic plasty. So it's also a keyhole procedure. Sometimes a mini open arthrotomy is performed. And that consists of autologous, which means graft coming from the own patient, where we harvest small plugs of bone and cartilage from a non-weight-bearing area of the knee, usually medial or lateral edge of the trochlea, to insert into the defect, which is usually in a weight-bearing area, most important, the medial femoral condyle. But if the lesion is too large, and by too large, I would say more than 10, 15 square millimeters, so we would consider osteochondral allograft transplantation. And when we say that, allograft means the graft come from a donor, okay? And for this procedure, we need to find a size and a shape specific donor to harvest a matching size and shape of the osteochondral defect. So this procedure is performed in one stage, but it might take some time until a matching donor is found. So there are specific protocols needed, such as MRI and CT scans, to find that matching donor. So those are the overall most common treatment options for chondral or osteochondral lesions of the knee in young patients.
Have there been any developments in treatments in the last years, or are there any in development now?
So, of course, as I said, cartilage injury in the knee in young population is a significant problem. So this issue has led to numerous research studies and development of new techniques, all aiming to achieving better outcomes for this patient. So one of the trials currently in place is assessing the long-term results of a different procedure known as MINCE, autologous cartilage implantation. So this procedure is essentially involves an arthroscopy. It's a keyhole procedure, single stage operation where a special device, a unique shaver, allows the surgeon to harvest non-weight bearing and non-important, I would say, minced cartilage samples from the patient's knee. So these samples are then implanted into the defect during the same procedure. However, we do not have yet long-term results for this procedure, and we don't have a comparison yet with MACE, which is the golden standard so far. But the trials are being run, and I'm sure we'll have results soon, and I'm excited to see what will be.
Are there any warning signs a GP or their patients can look out for?
Yes, I would say there are some warning signs for UGP to look for. And firstly, history. If there is a recent trauma, as I said, most of time precedes a diagnosis. Also, patients will complain of a locking sensation, or they have sensation of something's moving inside the knee, as I say priorly. On examination, you can find from effusion in the knee, sometimes the range of motion is limited, or even the knee can be locked if the fragment is jamming the joint. So those are the red flags in history and examination. I would recommend that UGP to look for a potential osteochondral lesion of the knee.
And what's the likelihood of recurrence of the condition?
I would say recurrence is not very common if the surgical procedure is accurately performed. However, what's important is always to look at the contralateral side. Some conditions such as osteochondritis dissecans of the knee, OCD as it's known, can affect the contralateral side in 50% of the time. So even if patient is asymptomatic, always look to the other side, and sometimes treatment is recommended. Even in plain x-rays, request that x-ray to the other side for comparison.
When should a GP refer on?
So as I have stated, chondral lesions of the knee in young patients are a great concern. As soon as the diagnosis is made, and usually we need imaging for that, I would be happy to see your patient and define treatment. So it can be complex to decide who needs an operation or not. Essentially, if a patient has a chondral injury of the knee and is symptomatic, most of the time surgery is recommended. So as earlier we intervene, better for the patient to prevent further damage of the remaining cartilage.
What role does the GP play in the treatment of this condition?
So GPs are essential in the treatment of chondral injuries in young patients. So especially because they are the first suspect and you'll be the first to make the diagnosis. So how do we make the diagnosis most of the time? Is with imaging, okay? So plain x-rays can show large defect, or if the defect has already been detached. So this is called an unstable lesion. Sometimes you can even see a floating loose body inside the knee, but most of the time an MRI scan will be required. So if you suspect, if you see change on x-rays, such as a joint line incongruity or a loose body, please request an MRI. It will give us more information regarding size, location, stability of the lesion, or if there is bone involvement or purely a cartilage involvement. So that's critical. Another scan I always recommend is Mackay view x-rays. A Mackay view consists of a long length view of both legs, and with that we can define what's the alignment of the patient. In some situations, if the patient has a mole alignment such as severe varus or valgus alignment, sometimes we need to address or correct the patient's alignment prior to doing osteochondral procedure. So you, GP, are the first to suspect and to make the diagnosis, and this is critical. Unfortunately, there are limited applicability for conservative treatment if a patient has osteochondral lesions. So sometimes for small stable lesions, which are the ones that we look at on MRI, and there is the lesion still attached to the native bone, and especially if the patient has open growth plate, we can offer non-operative treatment, okay? So basically consists of non-weight bearing or protective weight bearing for 6 weeks with a repeated MRI. So the purpose is to look at if the chondral lesion has healed in 6 weeks. But if there's not much progress made, this would be the time to request and refer the patient for our orthopedic surgeon.
Thank you for your time here today in the PodMD studio. To sum up for us, could you please identify the 3 key take-home messages from today's podcast on knee cartilage problems?
Of course. If you take these 3 messages home, my mission is accomplished, all right? First, suspect, all right? If a young patient who participated in sports present with pain and clicking in the knee, this should be the first suspicions, all right? Secondly, right imaging. Ensure the correct imaging is obtained. So this should include a non-weight bearing AP lateral and skyline x-ray of both knees for comparison, Additionally, a MRK view of the lower limbs and, of course, an MRI scan. Thirdly, quick action. If there is uncertainty regarding whether the lesion is stable or unstable, or if it can be treated non-operatively, or if the type of injury requires an operation, promptly contact your orthopedic surgeon. So share the scans, discuss the case. The sooner, the better. I'm always available and happy to discuss case, even on phone.
Thanks again for your time and the important insights you provided today.
Thank you.